What happens when 30 seconds of trauma destroys everything you've carefully built? In Missing Parts, we meet Celeste, a successful insurance company COO with a loving husband David and 4-year-old daughter Rory. But beneath this polished exterior lies a crumbling marriage and a woman haunted by what she can only refer to as that night. She's considered confessing to David countless times, but stops herself when looking into his innocent blue eyes, believing that 30 seconds didn't have to ruin a lifetime. Their once harmonious relationship began deteriorating after Rory's birth, particularly during their daughter's recurring bladder infections. Their first major fight erupted when Celeste asked if David's concern stemmed from fear someone might suspect him of molesting Rory, a sensitive topic given his past. His response, "Somebody's got to worry about her," wounded Celeste deeply, suggesting she wasn't concerned enough about their daughter. The painful journey to conceive Rory took over 3 years and multiple miscarriages. But parenthood transformed David from relaxed to hypervigilant, creating a role reversal Celeste struggles with daily. The fragile balance of their family life shatters when David calls Celeste in a panic. Rory won't wake up. At Cedars-Sinai Hospital, their daughter lies hooked to machines, appearing to be merely sleeping. Dr. Yang explains Rory's concerning test results: low blood sugar, severe dehydration, and a dangerously low bicarbonate level that can't be explained by simple illness. While Celeste tries to remain optimistic, David is convinced something is seriously wrong. As days pass, Rory's condition deteriorates despite treatment. She slips into a ketoacidotic coma, her skin turning from yellow to murky green. She no longer speaks, only moans and cries without tears. The doctors suspect an autoimmune disorder and prohibit visitors. David becomes an emotional wreck, not eating, barely sleeping, grinding his teeth, while Celeste feels strangely disconnected, unable to access her feelings about her daughter's condition. When Dr. Coven delivers devastating news that Rory is experiencing acute kidney failure and might not survive without a transplant, David nearly collapses, while Celeste remains oddly numb, shifting into project management mode, a response that reveals her unique way of coping with unbearable stress. The narrative takes a shocking turn when we learn what happened on that night. Celeste awakens to her own screams, hands bloody, clutching a broken lampstand with a jagged point. Phil lies at her feet, his face unrecognizable, gashed and bloody. Instead of calling 911, Celeste cleans her hands and flees. The truth emerges. Phil raped Celeste, and she attacked him, believing she'd killed him. Consumed by guilt, she abandons her family without explanation. For 9 months, Celeste lives as Sarah, drifting through states in a dissociative haze, experiencing hallucinations and suicidal thoughts before settling in Triton, Minnesota. There, she finds work at the Little Crane Diner and becomes drawn to an Alcoholics Anonymous group that meets there. Through these meetings, she connects with Joe, who confesses to killing a woman while driving drunk, a revelation that leads to her own confession and his encouragement to stop running and face her past. When Celeste returns to California to surrender, she discovers Phil survived and never pressed charges. Her homecoming proves more devastating than her years in hiding. She learns Rory received a life-saving kidney transplant just weeks after her disappearance, a miracle that deepens Celeste's guilt. When she calls David, his once warm voice is now cold. He agrees to meet only for Rory's sake, arriving with Robin, Celeste's former best friend, whose transformed appearance underscores how much has changed. When Celeste tries to explain herself, David dismisses her as a liar. Only when she finally reveals the brutal truth, Phil raped her, does the full picture emerge. David's reaction is perhaps the cruelest blow: complete disbelief followed by angry denial. The final revelation comes when David and Robin return with news they've told Rory her mother died in a car accident after her transplant. They even wrote letters, supposedly from Celeste, while Rory was recovering, crafting a mother's loving words before delivering news of her death. Celeste's mother arrives at this crucial moment, both joyful and anguished to see her daughter alive. Surprisingly, she supports David and Robin's decision to tell Rory her mother was dead, sharing how she'd watched her own daughters suffer from false hope about their father's return. Celeste evaluates her limited options. A custody battle would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, with experts likely testifying about Rory's best interests. Beyond financial concerns, Celeste recognizes the psychological impact on her daughter. Learning her mother wasn't dead but kept from her would devastate Rory's trust in David, potentially causing irreparable damage. The situation complicates further when Celeste accidentally witnesses an intimate moment between David and Robin, revealing their 2-year relationship and upcoming marriage. In the lawyer's office, Celeste makes the ultimate maternal sacrifice. With trembling hands, she signs documents that legally sever her connection to her daughter, transforming her from Rory's mother to a legal stranger. This story explores how silence and secrets can destroy lives more thoroughly than the painful truths we hide. Celeste's inability to share her trauma, both the rape and her attack on Phil, leads to devastating consequences that cost her everything she values. The weight of her silence manifests in chronic insomnia, deteriorating relationships, and erratic behavior, showing how unspoken truths poison every aspect of life. Through flashbacks and internal monologues, we see how each decision to remain silent creates an increasingly complex web of deception that becomes impossible to unravel without destroying everything. The novel raises profound questions about trauma, identity, and impossible choices. Celeste's decision to relinquish her parental rights represents both a heartbreaking loss and a selfless act of love, recognizing that disrupting Rory's life again might cause more harm than good. The narrative shows how trauma creates ripples through families and across generations, questioning the true cost of protecting loved ones from painful truths. Sometimes the most profound act of love is choosing to remain a ghost in the lives of those we cherish most. By signing away her parental rights, Celeste makes perhaps the only choice left to her, allowing her daughter the chance at stability and happiness, even at the cost of her own future with her. The title, Missing Parts, works on multiple levels: Rory's failing organs, Celeste's hidden emotions, the absent truths in relationships, and ultimately, Celeste becoming the missing part in her daughter's life. It suggests that wholeness requires integrating all parts of ourselves and our stories, however painful. The novel closes without neat resolution. Celeste faces an uncertain future, forever changed but finally free of secrets. Whether she can build something meaningful from the ruins remains an open question, but her willingness to face truth creates possibility for healing. A haunting question lingers. How many of us carry missing parts, secrets, traumas, or regrets that shape our actions in ways we barely understand? And what might happen if we found the courage to bring them into the light?